Hi, welcome to another episode of the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and today we're here with my guest, Jürgen Haas. Hi, Jürgen, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
We've not really crossed paths. I think we were just saying beforehand, but do you want to explain a little bit about what you do? I obviously know you're a Drupal developer, but do you want to do a short introduction for everybody?
Sure. So I started back in 2007 with Drupal. I think that was 4.6 at the time. As part of a prototype project where we wanted to do some fancy stuff with search engine optimization, and I was looking for a CMS at the time. I came across Drupal and was, well, I fell in love just immediately, and it helped me to solve a business need back then. And I haven't done much ever since other than Drupal. So all my business activity is now on Drupal. I'm a co-founder of Lakedrops. We are a small team of mainly back-end developers, and we are based in the south of Germany, border to Switzerland. And we serve bigger clients with very specialized solutions where we integrate third-party solutions into Drupal front ends, like, for example, a portal for a real estate agency where they manage a tenant portal, which is then integrated by Drupal modules into their DMS, help desk system, and many other things. What we've also been doing for, well, to be honest, the last 3 years is a migration for a large insurance company. And that one relates to ECA that we're going to talk about later on, anyways. And we migrated their site from Drupal 7 to 10. And that project just finished a couple of months ago. So, yeah, that's what we do.
That's cool. Yeah, we got into about the same time then, because I think I was around 2007, 2008 when I was starting to learn, and started learning with PHP and or just HTML, CSS, then PHP, and then somebody on a forum suggested I look at this at Drupal because they even used it on that forum, and yeah, that solved all the problems that I was trying to solve, and yeah, just stuck with it ever since, really. So very, very similar.
Well,
Interesting.
our use case was kind of funny. We collected content and published that on topic portals like wine, flowers, animals, and stuff like that. And what we didn't expect was that our engine would collect so much content that uploading everything to a static site through FTP was so slow eventually that the next refresh period already started when the previous one didn't finish with the upload. And I said, look, we need something to publish dynamically. And I never thought about a CMS before. I didn't even know the abbreviation. So that was how I came across Drupal. We started with it in only within 2 weeks, we got it live. And 6 months later, we had over 2 million nodes on that Drupal 4 site, which probably back then must have been one of the largest Drupal installations around the world.
Scary. Yeah, I definitely come into it from the other angle. Yeah, it's building little personal projects and small e-commerce sites with it, and sort of grew from there. Was you went in straight from the beginning. Actually, looking at your Drupal.org profile, it says 17 years and 1 month. So, congratulations, just gone over 17 years. Mine's almost 16, 15 years and 11 months, which could actually be 16 if I remember the way the date module works, but there we go. Very interesting. Cool. So let's jump into the topic that we want to talk about. So you mentioned ECK module. It's something I'm familiar with a little, but not one that I've used. And I'm intentionally not done much homework on it before because I'd rather not spoil the surprise. So yeah, what is the ECK module? EC, sorry, I'm going to keep saying that. ECA module. So rather ECK, Entity Construction Kit. This is
It's very
ECA, which
nice
I'm sure
to
you'll tell me
know.
what that stands for in a second.
Well, ECA stands for Events, Conditions, and Actions. And it was invented as part of that Drupal 7 to 10 migration that I mentioned before. We also maintained that Drupal 7 site for maybe almost 10 years, and we had intense use of the rules module back then in Drupal 7. And the number of rules that have been on that site was outgrowing all capabilities. So nobody, not even ourselves, had a chance to keep the overview of what was going on. But it was business critical. So you know, everything that was working on that, it's an intranet where they maintain ledgers. It's connected to an SAP system, and there is a lot of processing going on, and the data has to be accurate all the time. So when we started the migration to Drupal 10, we realized that almost everything was available. Well, to be honest, it was Drupal 8 when we started, then it was Drupal 9, and only eventually then Drupal 10. And the only missing piece really was the rules module. We really love it. It has done a great job on Drupal 7. But it felt like, yeah, there is an alpha release in, let's call it modern Drupal, but it wasn't really done. There is a lot going on. There are a lot of issues that people are working on. But it felt like it's probably never going to cross the finish line, which is understandable because, you know, the shift between Drupal 7 and 8 was huge. Rebuilding, well, it felt like a rebuild of Drupal 8 on Symfony was great for us as software engineers. We like that because we now have testable code. It's object-oriented, it's structured, it's no long tails of code in one single module file or include files. And thinking about it, moving something like rules from the old PHP world into that modern software architecture is something that you don't really want to get into. It's probably a thankless task, and nobody is ever happy with it. So we thought, how about starting from scratch? Building something new, which is just made for that modern software world, and then decoupling at the same time the processing task, which is ECA, from the front end, where we decided right at the beginning that we would love to build the front end which utilizes BPMN. BPMN is an industry-independent global standard to describe in a visual way workflows or processes. And it's used a lot in all sorts of industries. It doesn't have to do anything with CMS or publishing or content. It's about business processes. So we thought that's kind of a very useful UI for a process engine like ECA or the rules module before. And it turned out that that was quite a good decision that we made about 3 years ago, because with BPMN as a UI, to build processes, workflows, models, whatever you like, call it inside of Drupal, is now suddenly acceptable by people who don't know anything about programming, who don't know anything about Drupal publishing or anything, but they do understand how those pieces like circles for an event, rectangles for an action, connectors between the two, which can link to conditional activity as well, and so on. We presented the idea to our customer and said, look, we have a missing piece, it's rules. Instead of helping rules to get across the finish line, which probably never going to get happening anyway, We propose to build something from scratch, and we would like to do that as an open source module in the open on Drupal.org from day one. And the client say, well, yeah, that sounds good. We like that idea. And if you stay within budget and within the timeline, it's okay to do that as an open source module as well. So that's how we started with ECA. The objective was to replace rules for modern Drupal, and to reach at least feature parity. And the funny thing was, we presented the first prototype in October 2021. That was 3 months after we started development. And we presented that to a Drupal camp with maybe 20, 25 people on board. Everybody was very excited, and we published a blog post just the day after that, which was on Friday. And the following Saturday, the issue queue was kind of exploding. There was one guy who was not at the Drupal camp, but who obviously test drove ECA at the time. And that guy asked so many reasonable questions that I thought, well, we don't have documentation yet, but he certainly understands how that whole thing works. So I got in touch with him on Monday and said, hang on, we don't know each other. What's going on? You know? And he said, oh, you know, he was hired by another company only 4 weeks prior to that event. And he was hired as a full-time engineer with the sole purpose to build a module to replace rules for Drupal
Right.
9. So they had a budget as well. And he said, on Saturday morning, he finished writing the white paper for the architecture of the new module. And right after that, he recognized my blog about ECA, and he looked into ECA, and he threw his laptop away. And his girlfriend said, hang on, what's going on? And he said, you know what? I just found something that already built what I have written in 4 weeks, my white paper. The architecture is exactly the same thing.
That's brilliant.
It's just amazing. The funny part is as well, this guy only lives 50 kilometers away from myself, and we never met before.
Strange how these things happen, but that's such a great open source story. Like some
It
there's obviously a need that something needs to be done. You've then decided to do that. Someone has the same need, and now you've both simply got the benefit of
Yeah.
doing that, rather than two people writing different solutions and duplicating effort and time and everything else. That's a brilliant
Exactly.
story.
And also on top of that, the benefit for our client who had a budget, but they already received the benefit of somebody else joining forces, putting their energy into it as well. So our client didn't have to pay for the full solution. And I think this is just exactly how it should work. But
A
between the
few.
two companies, Lakedrops and the other one is Open Campus, based in Munich, who joined forces. We spent within 12 months around 3,000 hours in development to publish then in July 2022 version 1.0 of ECA. And it has been received really, really well. I think the community likes it. A lot of people are very excited. And it's growing nicely. It's not one of the top 100 modules yet, but it just reached around 5,000 installations, a bit more than that. And I'm quite excited about that success.
Yeah, I'm just looking now. It's yeah, the project page has 5,273 installs. Let's see, so let's go back to September last year. So yeah, 1,866. So I know these numbers can jump a little bit, and I've seen that in my modules, but they're a good indicator, I think, of how. But yeah, so that's That's not a small number of sites. Like 5,000, over 5,000 sites isn't a small number by any means.
Well, in particular, for a module of that complexity, I would say smaller modules deliver a precise small value. I've seen a lot of them with tens of thousands of installations, but bigger ones, they take a little longer because agencies are careful in introducing heavyweight stuff into Drupal sites, which is understandable. I wouldn't do that just overnight myself either.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, especially if agencies or freelancers are aware, I already know this set of modules, so I will continue to use that set of modules because I know them, until I come across a particular use case or some functionality that I need to look outside the box. But people do tend to stick with what they know. So yeah, interesting. But it does seem there's, I'm looking at the project page again. There's the ECA module. I said it right that time, on its own. But then there's a list of other modules as ECA Commerce, ECA Context, ECA Flag. So it seems like there's a whole sort of ecosystem around ECA related modules as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So first of all, ECA itself comes with, I think it's now 19 sub-modules which are included. So you can decide yourself what kind of functionality from Drupal core you need. Like, is it about rendering? Is it about the kernel? Is it about forms? You can enable migration features separately. Views is supported, users, content entities, configuration, caching, and so on and so forth. So each of them comes with a separate sub-module, but all packaged within ECA. And the beauty of that is ECA itself has only one dependency, and that's Drupal core. So we have decided not to put anything into ECA which comes with an additional dependency, which is important to keep it maintainable in long term. However, we wanted from day one to integrate with other modules that are important in the community as well, like Flex, like Commerce, like many others. And then we created separate modules that integrate that other one with ECA. And as we started doing that, suddenly a few other developers did the same thing themselves for other modules that we haven't had the time yet to do the integration work. But as of today, I think there is almost 40 or so contrib modules that integrate explicitly with ECA. And that number is growing as well. I believe that I don't know all of them any longer. Every now and then there is a surprise. Oh, there's another one that integrates with ECA, which is nice. And some modules actually probably integrate with ECA without knowing it because a major piece of ECA is are the actions, the A in the name. And they are the core action plugins that come as an API piece with Drupal core. So every module that provides an action plugin is automatically useful by ECA models as well.
Thing. Yeah, there's a whole thing I'm trying to process and wrap my head around. It's quite a big thing. It was all, it's a lot of, as you said, lots of sub-modules inside the module itself and all the other things. It's yeah, it's really interesting. So is it something like, I'm familiar with rules module. I remember using it in Drupal 7, I guess mostly for Drupal Commerce, if I remember rightly. That's my main reason to it, but I'm trying to think if I've ever used it for anything non-commercey. I seem to remember there must have been a similar discussion around what we do with Drupal Commerce prior to the to rules. But trying to think, there's a use case for something I would have done, because it's not just commerce, right? You could have it do show a message when someone saves a node or something. Like it, you could do lots of things with it, I suppose.
Yeah, but prior to showing a message, probably validate the data so it could really make sense. You may want to show messages. You may want to send notifications. The last one is probably the biggest use case for commerce. And I believe in Drupal 7, Commerce 1 actually had rules as a dependency. Those could even be installed without rules, if I'm not wrong.
I think that's right.
Yeah, but we now have things like an HTTP client as well, a separate module, where from within your workflow, you can submit a request to an external service, receive their response, decode it, if it's a JSON response, for example, all within ECA models. And then, depending on what they send, you can then fill in other parts of the node form and so on and so forth. AI modules are integrating with ECA a lot. So they use it to say, look, if this and that and that one applies, then I would like to generate a summary of the node, for example, ask ChatGPT to do that for me, or create some description for images and that sort of stuff. So that's all being done with ECA these days.
I also see there's a BPMN module as well, which seems to be another thing. Let's have a look at that as well. So that's BPM modular for ECA. Okay, so that's what gives the sort of the front end on top of this.
Exactly. So ECA itself is a black box. It has no UI component whatsoever. And that's very similar to how views or the field UI is being architected, that they have functionality without UI. And the UI piece comes always separate, as separate modules that can be turned off. So on production sites, you can turn off views UI. So your customer site builders and so on, they have no access to changing any views unintentionally, for example. The same thing can be done with ECA. If you deploy ECA with all the models that have been developed and tested, but without BPMN, then ECA just operates in the background on the live site and nobody can go into it and break anything. So that was the idea why we separated the UI. But the other idea behind that was I haven't been certain whether the choice of BPMN as a UI will be accepted by all the users. I thought others may have different ideas, liking other UI components, probably need something more accessible. That's kind of a weakness of the BPMN. UI so far. So it's always possible that somebody shows up and builds a completely different UI, but ECA in itself won't change at all.
That's really interesting. Yeah, it makes sense. You've built it in that way that because you've built everything in such a very decoupled modular way that you could just potentially put a different front end on front in front of it and then everything else behind the scenes would just continue to work as long as it presumably sent the same data and the same things from it, it would just continue to work.
And also, I have to admit, I don't want to take credit for the BPMN UI because that hasn't been developed by ourselves. That is a library that's been developed by a company, Kamunda. That's probably known from that they have a desktop client for BPMN, but their real product is a full-blown enterprise-scale processor for BPMN implementations. And the JavaScript client that they, or library, if you like, is just an open source extraction of their FAT client, which is called Camunda. And it was just our work to integrate that library into the admin interface of Google. And that is a single file, maybe 25 lines of code. That's all we've done.
What it reminds me of actually is Zapier UI. So I use that as an automation tool, and it's like, given this, it's going to be some common terminology here, I'd imagine. Given this, some sort of action, something that an event has happened. So a new thing has appeared in an RSS feed, for example. Then when that happens, I can do some sort of action, some filtering, maybe even based on that, and then perform then some sort of action around, send a social media tweet or put it into a Slack channel or something. Like, it's very similar to that. Actually, I'm looking at the screenshots of it, and you can build all this in the UI then using BPMN.
Well, there's another one I would love to implement that just don't have the time just now, which is, have you heard of Node-RED? That's
Heard of
another,
it.
that's another automation tool that allows you to model that on screen with drag and drop, and really powerful, very intuitive to use. And an extra benefit that we only learned while we implemented that for our client, as a Drupal agency, we suddenly get much easier buy-in from stakeholders who are not really on the Drupal side of things. Like a department manager who knows exactly how the data flow should be and all the dependencies they have and what should happen if then and that. With the Drupal rolled out with custom code, for example, they can try it and they can see, yeah, it works, but it still remains in the unknown somehow. But with the graphical UI with BPMN, you can show them the model and say, look, this is the flow, and there is some labels and documentation coming with it as well. And they look at it and they can immediately understand what's going on, and they can sign off and say, yeah, that's exactly what we need. That's fine. And having them on board in project meetings is such a benefit that it makes so many things much easier than.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of a good flow chart, and I've been using Mermaid.js recently more so, but I've been using God, I can't remember what they call now, some
Fast analysis, for example.
online flow chart things. Lucid chart probably is one of them. Yeah, it just helps to build this mental model, even for me, of what the flow of this integration looks like, and data comes in, this thing happens. But be able to show that to people and to be on a call with maybe the supplier and the internal stakeholders and the client, so this is how it's going to work. It's just there's a reference point for me as well. I think it's invaluable to spend that time up front, because it dramatically shortens the actual development time afterwards, because I know what I'm building already. We've already had that discussion.
Yeah, now with BPMN combined with ECA, you are building that visual, but the functionality at the same time as well.
Actually does something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You
So
mentioned
is
Salica before. I was thinking there is another platform. Have you heard of If This Then That?
yeah, IFTTT.
ITT.
How many ever T's? Yeah, I've
Everything
same sort of
that
idea.
on that platform can be done now with the Drupal side and scale. I don't
What?
think there's anything missing.
Wow,
So
that's amazing.
think about it, the privacy factor alone makes it attractive to me, because I don't like to give all my credentials to If This and That just so that they can post on my behalf. But if I can build that automation on my own domain, that's much more attractive, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of people who are, but yeah, I'm the same, who would rather not do that, but would generally prefer an open source or something they've got more control over than, giving it to some So, but I'm not saying that any of those can do anything malicious with it, but some people just like having, especially in a client sort of situation as well. You wouldn't want to, hello client, I'm going to give your API keys to some other third party, because that's not, in some situations wouldn't be possible. You know, that it just wouldn't be an option at all. Whereas, yeah, something you could build internally, manage yourself is more, is doable. Interesting. So yeah, look at the screenshots actually on the BPMN project page. And yeah, there's some quite complex things in here about load the entity. Is it type one? Is it type two? So it's quite a complicated thing that it's building. So would you imagine, like, is this a tool that developers would be using, or would you actually give this to a person and have them build this, like, to a client essentially, and have them build these workflows out on the site directly?
That's a very good question, and I think we haven't resolved that to the extent that I would love to eventually, because it is already intuitive. I'm saying that because this is what we get in the Slack ECA channel where we provide support. There are lots of people who say, look, I don't know much about Drupal, but I like that. And I've done this and that. I just missed about this one. And you explain that, and they learn very quickly and they get to a working ECA model more quickly than I anticipated, to be honest, in the first place. However, I have to admit, without knowing how Drupal operates background, lots of areas that ECA provides will remain hidden to that audience.
Okay.
And we haven't found a way yet to actually bridge that gap. How do I make some really powerful functionality accessible to somebody who doesn't know about what is an entity, what are fields, what are multi-value fields? How can I loop through the values of a multi-value field, and so on and so forth? Very quickly, you get into developed terminology, which somebody else who's not a developer never heard of before. And, building a model, building a workflow is about logic and breaking down that logic into smaller pieces. And that is something that a developer learned on how to do that. Other people haven't learned that before, and it becomes not impossible, but they will never get to the level that a developer can with that tool. But still, for them, there is also a value in ECA because easier tasks they can do themselves. Or they have somebody who is familiar with that algorithmic stuff, but they are just not PHP developers. So for them, they can do a lot as well without writing any code.
Yeah, there's definitely some Drupal knowledge needed here, even just looking at this screenshot. So field name, entity reference, and then yeah, entity type, and then revision IDs, entity IDs. So there's definitely some developer knowledge sort of needed. At least that's what this screenshot is implying. Very interesting. But I suppose if someone is familiar with BPMN from something else, then they'd also be familiar with it here, presumably.
The approach we've taken so far to help people with that is we've spent a lot of time in building the so-called ECA guide, which you can find on ecaguide.org. And that not only describes all the plugins with all their parameters, but it also comes with a library where we have provided probably something like 50 or 60 sample models with descriptions. Sometimes we also have some videos where we show how we build them and why we have built them the way that we did. And those are very helpful starting points for lots of people. say, I have no idea what you mean if you say loop through the list of values, then you can direct them to one of the samples that does it, and then they often very quickly realize, oh, that's what a loop is, right? I understand the concept, I just wouldn't have ever called it a loop, right?
That's interesting. Yeah, have a look at that. I've just had to open that up. Yeah, there's a lot in here about there's some examples. There's provided tokens and fields. Yeah, there's this is definitely going to be worth looking at some more. So if somebody's wanting to look into it, is that the best place for them to start on the ecaguide.org site, or is there a better place?
I would say ECA guide is the best starting point, then combined with the ECA Slack channel. Well, it's on Drupal Slack and within there the ECA channel. This is where we hang out almost all day and night, and we respond very quickly there. And it's not only us, there are other users of ECA now as well, who are really great in helping out and sharing their experience.
That's the other thing I'm thinking then is also if somebody has made a very complex or just made a workflow in the UI, does that then get exported out to configuration as YAML and deployed that? Is that possible with this?
Well, an ECA model, as it's stored from within the BPMN UI, is a Drupal config entity.
Okay,
So,
okay.
with config management, it's very easy to export that and then import on a live on a different stage or even on a different Drupal site. And talking about modern Drupal, there are recipes as well, and recipes are just, in my words, the wrap-up around config entities. So we also build a feature into ECA where you can export a model as a recipe together with all the dependencies. Like, for example, if your ECA model depends on the article content type with certain fields, then all those config entities will be included into the recipe as well. And with recipes, you can then apply that on any site that you like. Creating a recipe automatically is not 100% correct all the time because it sometimes depends on recognizing all the dependencies, and that's not always possible. But the export is a great starting point, and it's probably some manual tweaks that you have to make if it's something generic that you want to make available for others to use as well.
Recipes is something else I do need to look at, at some point. I've not really spent too much time looking at recipes yet. So I'm also aware of Starshot, I think is the main sort of recipe that I'm aware of, I guess, at the moment. So I do need to look at well, actually both those things more so. If I do make it out to Barcelona, then I'll sure I'll find out some more about that. So I just wanted, yeah, you mentioned about the project you started and how ECA started, and I also mentioned rules module as well. So I can see that there is actually a Drupal 10/11 version now of rules as of July. There's a 4.0.0 right to the 25th of July. So is there still how much? I don't know whether you're aware of that, whether you've looked at it, or I'm thinking like how much overlap is there now between. If this is not so much a successor to rules, but if they're both, is there a use case where one is maybe better than the other? Is one better for a smaller site or a simpler workflow, or does ECK sort of cover all the use cases?
As far as I know, ECA has at least all the features that rules has. And yes, I'm following along because I never wanted to position ECA as the competitor to rules. Actually, we spoke to almost all the rules maintainers over the last 15 years. There have many been coming and going. All of them encouraged us to actually do what we did with ECA. None of them as say, look, rather spend your time helping rules to become better. In fact, there has been so much funding going into rules over almost a decade now, and it never finished, really. So that was the reason why we did ECA the way we did it, but never against rules. So there is nothing negative I would like to say about rules. The fact that there is a small team of people still continuing to maintain rules, heads up, it's amazing to see how much energy they spend. I personally have some, I hold back on using rules in the modern world because I look so deeply into the rules code that I think there is so much room for improvement. You could get rid of maybe more than half of the code still doing the same thing. There is so much redundancy in it, and so on and so forth. It is just very, very difficult to maintain. As long as it works, it's just great. But we have to be aware that this never stops. There is a lot of effort going into it to keep it up and running with future versions of Drupal. And I think that's the benefit of a new architecture to say, look, this has been developed from ground up for that new context. And maintenance of that will be much simpler. Probably also more reliable. We have a lot of test coverage. We are around 90% of all code, which is automatically tested. We've just had a major update to ECA 2.0 a couple of months ago together with Drupal 11. And only half of the install base has already updated to 2.0. And it was only two or three instances where something went wrong, which was just an oversight that we fixed just right after that so that others who migrate late or update later will not run into that issue as well.
Very interesting. I can think of a few other actual examples now we've said that. I think group module and sort of organic group as well. I think that was the one we previewed, and then Rush and Drupal console. So yeah, again, I don't want to say that competition sounds like the wrong thing, but I'm trying to think what the right word is. But there are sort of these similar examples of similar projects trying to achieve the same thing. And I think the group one is very similar in terms of like a new architecture and everything. But you then see that they do take some inspiration from each other as well in a way. And we see that from not even just in the Drupal side, but you're always seeing sort of Symfony, Laravel, sort of releasing features, and the other one releases a similar feature and vice versa. But yeah, I think that's sort of one of the good things about PHP, I think, as an ecosystem, is that we've got the chance to do that, and we're sort of always pushing each other forward, I think, in a way.
Or take another one within Drupal that hasn't taken that opportunity yet, which is very famous but not much maintained any longer, which is Vue's. Vue's got integrated into Drupal, I believe, as in Drupal core, as part of the Drupal 8 development, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
And looking at it and the issue, it feels like nobody really wants to touch the Vue's code anymore. It is as it is, and there is not much maintenance going into it, which is
Okay.
exactly the same reason that Vue's is amazing. It's great. And it does what it does. But if you want to improve that, you get into some legacy code, which is very hard to read, hard to understand, and hard to change. And that's kind of sad, I think, but understandable, because this is code that is now 15 years old. And the guy who developed that is no longer around doing that. And if you touch that, you take a huge risk in breaking stuff. So I think if we ever want to see a chance for a more modern and more capable user interface, it probably has to be a rewrite. It has to start from scratch.
Yeah, Vue hasn't changed, at least the Vue's UI hasn't changed. So I started using it probably back in Drupal 6 or Drupal 7 days when it was first there.
Still does a great job, so that's
Oh, it
amazing.
does. Yeah. But yeah, it's essentially the same interface, which is with some sweet slight changes. I think contextual views is now something else. Contextual arguments is something. So some of the things have changed, but by the most part, I suppose it's the same. I'd never thought of that as an example. That's a really good example. We'll see. I think maybe there'll be something that that comes out of that as part of some of the newer things. But yeah, that's really true. I hadn't thought of that.
Ever gets a chance for a refresh, I believe that will certainly not happen as part of Drupal 4. That will then be contrib space again, because then things can happen dynamically by an independent team of people focusing on that, because Drupal Core has very strict guidelines on how to develop, test, and maintain code. Innovation within that is very hard to achieve. And I think that's what Starfield tries to do
I
at
think
the
so.
moment as well. Like, yeah, take Core as the foundation of it, but then incorporate contrib to become dynamic and introduce innovation and so on and so forth. And I like that approach a lot. And
Yeah.
that's ECA, as powerful as it is, will never go into core because, the trend is just the opposite direction.
Yeah, I think it's the same similar things about group as well. I think it's same sort of idea. Yeah, I had to get somebody on to talk about Starshot. I think already started to find out more about it from an idea. I'm familiar with it. I think that difference of governance model and approach is quite different. So I need to find out more about it to make an informed opinion around it. But yeah, it's definitely very going to be very interesting. So we'll see. Again, if I do make out to Barcelona, which is in what 2 weeks, I think, from now, then yeah, definitely, I'm sure I'll be finding out more about that. Cool. So, anything else you wanted to cover? Anything else you wanted to mention?
Well, we've spoken about plugins all the way through as well. I just wanted to give you an idea on how much functionality you get. You probably wouldn't believe that there are, as of now, more than 650 plugins that ECA can make use of. There are 230 events, more than 80 conditions, and 340 action plugins. Half of which comes from ECA itself, the other half comes from contrib space. So that's just to give everyone an idea on, how much flexibility you get. Yeah, that each of those plugins is very granular. It's very small in functionality, but you can combine each of them with almost all of the other ones. So the limit on what you can build is the sky. There is no limit really. At the same time, there is no performance hit or penalty that you would have to take on the Drupal side. ECA is built in a way that it's not measurable how much time it takes to process all that stuff, which is because, we have a dynamic event subscriber, which only subscribes to those that are present in at least one of your models. And only if such an event gets dispatched by something within Drupal, ECA is actually doing something. And what it does is then comparable with what would happen if you write some custom code.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I feel there's a rabbit hole I can go down now. And I'm going to start. So I'm going to have to set this up and have a bit of a play, I think, on a test project and be able to quantify a lot of these things because yeah, it's not this almost infinite amount of things you could do with it. So I think I'm gonna have to set it up on a project and maybe look at the ETA guide site and this yeah the NWDog video I know is that's linked from the documentation page but and there's some others but yeah I feel like I'm gonna need to really sort of get my hands on it to sort of get the full grasp of what it can do because it sounds like it's a lot. Cool. If anyone wants to find out more about either the module or about yourself, where could they go online?
Project page on Drupal.org is a great place where hopefully everything important is being linked from there. But if you want to ask questions, catch up, challenge me or anyone else in the development team, we're all happy to discuss all topics easily with you. The best way to catch us is on Drupal Slack in the ECA channel or direct messages. But I'm also available on Mastodon, and my handle there is Jürgen Haas, JURGNHAAS, almost everywhere, but also Mastodon. Yeah, happy to chat all things Drupal.
I think it's on Fosterdon. I still haven't quite got my head around the Mastodon thing with the different servers and everything. But yeah, just
I'm
interesting.
on Mastodon as well. Did you mention that?
Yeah, I'm not sure which one I'm on, but yeah, there we go. That's all right. That's how you contacted me. So it must work. So, brilliant. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go away and say I think play with this a bit more, take it for a test drive, see if, how I could potentially use it in some projects as well, but some ideas definitely are coming to mind. Thank you for taking the time and for joining me on the podcast today. And thanks to everybody for listening to the podcast. I'll see you on the next episode of Beyond Blocks. I'm Oliver Davis.